Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You're coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, we're going to find out more about this race that Abe's participating in this weekend before he sips on a cocktail before 6 o'clock. It is Dukes and Bell hanging out, Twin Peaks Buckhead, guys. Lots of stuff going on around the NFL. The cap numbers came out today. I don't know if you have them in front of you, but we were talking about Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
What's the official guarantee for him now that the NFL has set its cap?
It's 15.045. Of the million, so 15,045,000, so just barely over 15 million for the franchise tag for Kyle Pitts.
Look, I don't know about you. I feel like we're saving there. I mean, if you do a long term deal, what you guys have to do is extrapolate that over 4 years. That turns into $75-80 million, and most of that would be guaranteed. He'd probably get 40-43 million up front, something of that nature. Just with the numbers that are in front of us now. But I think, again, you franchise him, you know the set money that you're going to have to spend there, and then you use the rest of this stuff to go address your free agent needs. I'm fine with this. I've all along, this entire offseason, thought this was the smartest move. And then when they made the announcement, I said, great. We just didn't know what it would look like when it's officially done. So now we do. I think we're saving on this.
Yeah, I think the money's probably as favorable as anyone would have hoped for or thought for. You know, and you almost wonder if him seeing the franchise number makes him interested in working towards any sort of extension. If you can keep it at that $15 million
Correct.
And not get too over your skis, you know. But who knows? Some people think that the franchise is just a ploy to try and trade him. I take Ian Cunningham at his word. I think this is a leadership group with Stefanski as well and Matt Ryan as well, who I know has seen Kyle, obviously, that want to look. And I know there's criticisms of Kyle Pitts and what he can and can't do, some of his limitations at a tight end. I hear all those. I understand all that. Two things. You have one receiving weapon if you were to move on. One.
Drake.
And you need Kyle this year because I don't see you bringing in, draft aside, anyone at the wide receiver position or role with him. And then also, I just need to see him. I need to see him in a offense with a coach that features tight ends that can get the best out of guys. I got to see Kyle. Now, quarterback play may be a problem, and that may limit that anyways. I need to see him in the offense. And I think that's what Ian Cunningham is suggesting as well. It's like, dude, this guy might be a beast. He might be the all-pro we all thought he was when he was drafted where he was and looked like his rookie season and looked like at times last year. But he might not, and if the consistency is an issue, to drops is an issue, then we can move on. But I think it's a great value play for this team for this year.
I do too. 404-726-0929. You can follow us on social media, guys. Mike's off today. Abe is in. Abe, give him your social media handle, man.
It's at Abe Gordon. There you go.
Very, very easy. Follow me at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And, of course, follow radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 and this radio station at 929 The Game. Big O back at the studio, man. Let's get to 4th and 1. Fourth and One brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Speaking of tags, the Cowboys are replacing, or reportedly that is, placing the tag, franchise tag on George Pickens. Now, that's going to cost him a little bit more. I think the tag there is about $28 million.
It was just under, but yeah, close.
So Pickens gets franchised again. The Cowboys can work a long-term deal with him. The former Georgia receiver looking for a long-term deal. We'll see if that gets done. The guys, they have until like mid-July to get a deal done, so we'll see.
They're not getting a deal done, right?
They may.
With the cap hit that Dak has, with
it's going to be harder for them.
With the price that CeeDee Lamb, they can't pay both. They had both receivers.
But if they do a long-term deal, it does minimize, obviously, the cap hit, not only for this year, but gives them some flexibility moving forward. That's the benefit for the teams to do the long-term deal. It helps you immediately.
Where are they going?
Cowboys?
The Cowboys, yeah. What are we doing here?
Well, look, when you say where are they going, they got two first-round picks in this draft. I think they go defense and improve their defense. I think they go offensive line and improve the offensive line. You just signed your running back. You're franchising Pickens. You've got CeeDee Lamb. Dak didn't play terrible. I'm not telling you they're going to Super Bowl, but the deal is that Cowboys aren't as bad as I think we might think they are. Those two first-round picks, and again, only because of the trade of Micah Parsons, I think it's going to help them.
I definitely don't think they're bad. And I also think this is a league there that we've seen turnarounds can happen quickly. But the question is, when you have Dak, when you have CeeDee Lamb, when you have George Pickens, when you re-sign Javonte Williams at the number that you did for him at running back and then the first two, you kind of feel like you're setting up more than just, we're not that bad. You got to set something up here when you're paying these guys that much money.
It is a lot. They have invested, especially on the offensive side. They've invested a lot in those skill guys. While we're talking about the Cowboys, look, they're not going to draft Caleb Downs. He's going to be gone by the time they pick. But I want you to hear what the former Atlanta Mill Creek standout had to say. Of course, he went to Alabama, and then he finished his college career at Ohio State. We just had BMAC on last hour talking about, guys, he will be a top five pick. Is he the best defender in this draft? He was asked that question.
Who's the best defender? I mean, it's not like really positional value. It's who affects the game. And if you affect the game in a lot of ways, that's what's most important. I feel confident every time I step on the field. So if I would say that I walked on the field and thought anybody was better than me, that's not true.
Look, saw the kid in high school, and we've all seen this, where you watch a young man and he's just better than everybody else, right?
You see that even in 9-year-old soccer, Carl.
This is true. With proper coaching the effort and time given from the coaching staff, you will see that. But, yes, that was Caleb in high school, right? Just better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Gets to college as a freshman at Alabama, is all SEC. Mm-hmm. You knew he was different. And then Nick Saban leaves, which opened up the door for him to say, okay, maybe this might not be the best place for me. Goes to Ohio State and balls out. Kid's incredible, man. Here's Caleb Downs talking about his confidence level.
My confidence level is always at the highest when I'm on the field, and the belief in myself really never goes down, no matter the circumstance. So I feel like my mind really puts me above a lot of people in terms of how I process the game and play with instincts, and I feel like that's what makes me special.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see where he goes. Again, all the teams that are picking that high, we know they're in need. They're building, right? But he could be a game changer defensively. What do you think of Christian Miller, by the way? We were talking about this yesterday on the show, Mike and I. He could be there for us at 48 when we talk about if we're going to go defensive tackle. Mm. Christian Miller, Georgia, he is not participating in the drills, by the way, at the combine. He will at his pro day, but he's there. He's interviewing. Here's what he said about speeding and Kirby holding players accountable because they were talking about the culture at Georgia.
I think everything in life is about being intentional. I feel like at a point of time, I can speak for myself. I feel like I was living a little too fast. I feel like I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. And I feel like sometimes when mistakes like that happen, when things like that happen, it kind of teach you got to grow up fast. And honestly, I had to understand that decision that I made when I was speeding, it not only affected me, but it affected my teammates, my family. So I had to understand that I got to be more intentional when I'm driving. If I'm going 10 over, I got to see that. I got to understand what's going on and just be a man. So just man,
yeah, look,
Coach Smart, he don't deal with it. He don't like that. He don't like it at all. It's not right. He don't like it, and I feel like he does a good job of disciplining players for it and just holding them accountable, taking money, having us come in early for 6:30, just showing us that that's not what you do. When you get in the car, you drive the speed limit, and you do what you're supposed to do.
So that's Christian Miller. He says something there that we really haven't heard because Kirby keeps a lot of this in-house. He said Kirby holds us accountable. He takes money from us. Right.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We never really know as dog fans how these guys get punished. Are they running extra stairs? Mike and I joke, you know, what are you showing up at 5 a.m. in the gym and you got to give me some extra, you know, conditioning? Yeah, all of that. But the main thing he said right there is he takes money from us. In this NIL world, you got to treat these guys like they are professionals. And I think, you know, again, that's something we hadn't heard. It doesn't surprise me, but, you know, on top of the disciplining and holding guys accountable, I'm going to take some loot from you as well.
It's not working. We just had this happen last week. I don't know if you need to take more or what. And I can understand the idea, the feeling that Kirby takes it seriously, but it keeps happening. So there's no change in the actions of the players.
I think, Abe, that people want to know that this is just not unseen, unheard. That Kirby is, in fact, and this is coming from a player who was affected by something he did.
So the suggestion now is that there's nothing he can do to ever change it.
No.
Because that's – it's essentially ever changed.
I think the suggestion, or at least the perception, is there's not being enough done. And what Christian Miller is saying in that soundbite is that's not true. When we screw up, we are being held accountable. When we screw up, he is taking money from us. When we screw up, there are things that he makes us do that you guys aren't aware of that tries to get it through the thick skulls of these idiots who keep speeding. I don't think you can, again, put that on Kirby. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
If I keep doing the right things to try to put you on track and you screw up, that's on you.
So that's option B, though. I gave you two options.
Okay.
And option B was there's just nothing that can be done. There's nothing Kirby can do.
No, I see.
He can try and do all the steps that he's taking, but ultimately, the kids are going to be kids.
But when you say, but here's the caveat. When you say nothing can be done, the insinuation is that he's not speaking to them and giving them the proper direction.
Nothing more from him can be done.
Well, look, they've got, at least from what we've heard, right, they bring in folks to speak. They have these seminars. They have classes for kids as far as speeding and the consequences. I mean, look, the deaths of two members of that staff and certainly a former player, maybe that doesn't resonate with somebody that's coming into the program. So you have to continue to educate young men.
Yeah.
I just found that soundbite from Christian Miller interesting only from the standpoint is we always go, well, what's he doing? How does he punish these guys? What is he doing? He's doing the things.
I never thought that anyways.
He's doing those things.
I never thought he was just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, reading police reports, and moving on.
But if you go to some programs around the country, people think that. Because it's football. And guess what? These guys get away with whatever the hell they need to get away with.
I think there was an era, by the way, where that was truth.
Yeah.
I think now in the world we live in, with reporting, with freedom of information – that stuff can't be swept under the rug. It just can't. Not anymore. And so I think you have to approach it differently. I think coaches try, but I also think you give kids who feel invincible at their age a fast car, they're going to go fast.
Even when we didn't
They're no different from me.
No, but even when we didn't have fast cars, and I do agree with you, look, when you give somebody an 800, you know, horsepower vehicle, I'm going to test it. But even when we didn't have fast cars, Abe, we were driving fast. Right?
I don't think my car can hit 100 now.
Well, but I'm saying when you have the ability to drive those cars, it doesn't help the situation.
Yeah.
It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let me hear Clint Kubiak. We were talking about Mendoza as we are talking about what's going on around the NFL. We think he will be the number one overall pick. Here's Clint Kubiak, the new coach of the Raiders.
Excited to keep learning about him, and it's not just me. It's, you know, our whole coaching staff, our quarterback coach, and, you know, I want all of our coaches to get involved, especially at that position. I want everybody's input, but obviously he's been successful, had a lot of success last year. He's won a national championship, and that's what you want is you want a winner.
Yeah, man. Look, I think he's a winner. I just don't know if he is a what I call an elevator. Meaning, does he elevate the players enough around him to turn your organization into a winning organization? Or is he just a guy that you need the Brock Bowers, which he'll have in the world, and Genty, who he'll have in the backfield? He can just coexist and not make the mistakes in the NFL. Is he a guy that elevates that team and puts him on his back?
You know, I was thinking about the championship game this morning, actually, Indiana and Miami, and some of the plays, some of the conversions, some of the things that went down. And I still couldn't believe Indiana won that game. just a thing.
It happened.
I did think of some of the important moments, and whether you credit Mendoza or you credit Charlie Becker for some of those big back shoulder catches type things. And I started to lean back towards Mendoza.
Okay.
I think he stepped up in big moments in big games, whether it was the comeback at Penn State, whether it was all through the, you know, right after he'd thrown a pick six, the first matchup with Oregon, and then recovered from that, or it was all through the game against Miami. I think he's ready for the moment. I don't think he's got elite tools.
I don't either.
Physically.
No, neither do I. And that's what I'm saying.
Can you survive in today's NFL like
yes.
that? I think you can.
Yes, you can.
I think you can.
All right, we're coming back. We'll find out what's on Day Day's mind. We're live at Twin Peaks. By the way, what's your go-to cocktail? What do you normally drink?
Water with liquid IV.
No. When you're out.
Don't get that because it's going to sit here and melt.
No.
Aiden's
when you're
a Moscow
socializing.
Mule guy.
No. On some days.
You're a pinky guy?
No. I normally just drink bourbon and Coke.
Oh, simple.
Yeah.
Perfect. We'll order that. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
26.2 miles.
Something I'll never do. So, Abe has been training very hard over the last few months, and my goal before 6 o'clock today is to get him to enjoy a cocktail with me in celebration of the training, the preparation that goes into this. And just, you know, hey, you made it, man. You're here. Sunday the race happens, and then, you know, it's done. So, you've not had a drink in how long?
Last drink I had was on the cruise, which was before the new year.
Okay, so December.
Yeah, late December.
All right, so you've been training hard. All right, that's part of what we're doing today here at Twin Peaks. We're in Buckhead. We're about to order him a drink, so we'll keep you updated on that. Also coming up, Steve Koonin's going to join us, CEO of our Hawks, and we'll get into this streak that they're on. They've won 3 in a row, and rightfully so, man. We beat the Wizards. They're a bad team, but you still got to go out and do it. But more importantly, I think the Kuminga thing has a lot of people excited. So we'll talk to him about that and a lot of other things that we need to get to here with Steve Koonin. But as we are here, so is Day-Day. And Day-Day, man, happy Friday. What's going on, man? What's
yes,
on your
man.
Mind?
Happy Friday. Water. Water is on my mind.
Water?
Beach water.
Oh.
Oh, I said I've been high on the water, too.
No, he's talking about
hydrated.
He's talking about not for long. He's talking about going to a beach, right?
That's right. So, you know, just looking forward to a little – cruise action.
Yeah.
Cruise. So,
you know, Abe really enjoys cruises.
Yeah,
as well.
No, I mean,
I do.
That's how I thought Abe and I's bond began. We talked often about cruises.
My status so is then, on Carnival Cruises.
And then I thought, you know what? We're there. I think I can ask Abe if he will be my help me out with coaching.
Yes.
So I thought we were there, but clearly we're not.
You didn't know my schedule. That's not anyone's fault.
Yeah, that's a lame excuse. So, no, man, you're heading out. Is it tomorrow or Monday?
Yeah,
when are you
well,
leaving?
The cruise itself will leave on Sunday, but we leave. Well, my family actually already left. Yeah, my family already left. I'll head down tonight after the show.
That's a good sound, by the way.
It is.
It's pretty strong.
It really
when
is.
You hear that, you,
so
you better have a drink
you,
in your
you
hand.
You guys are both – have you ported out of Cape Canaveral before? Either
yeah,
of you?
Multiple times.
So I love it because of the fact. Now, Miami is cool because, you know, all the ships, right?
Yeah.
But I love Cape Canaveral because you can see the launch pad.
Oh, yeah. NASA.
NASA up in the distance. That's what's always cool to me. So anyway, real quick, guys, want to show some love. Good luck to all the teams that kick off the second round of the Georgia High School Association State Championship Tournament tonight. Second round action tonight and tomorrow. So good luck to everyone. I'm actually for the first time in what almost 10 years be missing the second and third round. I'll be back in time for the championship game.
Okay.
But good luck to everyone. All right, a career night for threes, guys. Did you guys see this? Konka Nipple, he set the NBA rookie record for made 3-point baskets after his 207th. Last night against the Pacers, record was previously held by Keegan Murray. And then Tyrese Maxey turns around and passes Allen Iverson, setting the 76ers record for made threes at 886.
Wow.
Maxey has played 375 games. Iverson did it in 722 games. So Tyrese Maxey is a player that I think doesn't get talked about much. Not necessarily in MVP-type conversations, but just – really important to teams. I can't remember what year that was, but they were making a run in the playoffs, and I kept telling people I felt like he was the most important player to, like, yes, Embiid is their star. This is when they had P.J. Tucker still.
Okay.
And I was like, but Maxey, this might have been his second year. I was like, he's technically, in my opinion, the most important player in that team, and I think he still is, so.
Yeah, look, they paid him. They're treating him like, you know, he got a big fat deal, got his bag. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, with where the franchise is, we're talking about the 76ers, and the reason why he surpasses this mark quicker is just guys are shooting more threes now.
Yeah. True.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's not Allen Iverson.
Right.
All right? Iverson is one of the all-time greats. But all the threes being shot, the volume allowed him to pass Iverson a lot sooner. But I'll say this. He is the star now. Mm-hmm. Embiid can't do the things he used to do, and you can't count on him regularly. So, you know, the crazy thing is they thought signing Maxey, getting Embiid healthy, that's the building blocks, right? Mm-hmm. The Harden thing didn't work out. But I'm with you. I think Maxey is certainly a top 10 player in this league. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. And then Con Knipple is dynamite.
He's
going to be a problem. And you started to see Charlotte really figure it out over the last couple of weeks. But obviously breaks this rookie record in, 59 games.
Yeah.
He's going to shatter it. He's going to place it at a number that, I mean, again, who knows where this game heads. But feels like he could put it at a number that's not going to be touched for a while.
Yeah. You know what? Did you guys see a few weeks back, might have been a month or so ago, where his mom had the whole team over for dinner?
Yeah.
The whole bus pulled up.
Well, everybody was talking about you know, they played at Duke, right? His teammate, the number one overall pick.
Cooper.
Yeah. Cooper Flagg. I don't think people knew if Con Knipple was this good.
I know.
This is like now if you're watching him, you realize like, okay, they had a nice squad at Duke, but he can do so many more things.
He really can.
Yeah, man.
All right. MLB looks like they're going to take a page out of the NBA's book. They are giving TikTok creators access to their content library in expanded partnership. So just like how we've seen over the last few years, the NBA allowing a lot of influencers to have access, things of that nature, is kind of taking us a page out of that book. And what they said was basically, even though MLB saw a spike in recent years as far as viewership goes, the young audience is still a challenge for them. And we obviously know the younger people do live on TikTok. So it looks like the MLB is going to try to, you know, go that route, seeing if that can be something that helps them, you know, get the younger audience more engaged with the game.
I dig it. I mean, look, you got to go – you have to embrace the technology, embrace where people are. Mm-hmm. And if that's the audience you're looking for, right, we're talking, 18 to 49-year-olds, basically, 18, 35, I don't know. Bringing that younger demographic in, you got to go where they are. And if that's where they feel like, hey, we could get a lot of traction, then I'm all for it. I just also have always felt like MLB, and Mike and I were having this conversation, Abe, I want to get your take on it, about NHL. You know, we're coming off this great Olympic run. Promote the stars. Promote the guys that we just watched that we're now you could turn on the television and watch great NLH action.
You didn't watch last night's doubleheader?
tell me what
nobody
the,
else did.
Correct. Tell
nobody
me what
else
the numbers
did.
Were. That's the problem. And MLB has always had this issue as well. Even at the height, coming off of the home run chase with Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, there were so many stars in the league at that time that you could have just made it so much more intriguing. And I think they don't do enough of that. So wherever the audience is, man. But yeah, the NHL they don't do it either.
All right, a couple more real quick. Georgia, South Carolina tomorrow, talking about the Bulldogs basketball
big
team.
Game.
So big game for them.
No
they should
downs.
Win this game. Yeah. But, again, you're coming off that loss to Vandy, and you're still sitting in 10th in the conference, but you need to try to finish strong. And then, honestly, they're going to need to have at least two wins in the
they
SEC
They need to win
tournament.
Their last three regular season games and at least one to still be in the conversation, much less on the right side of it.
So just wanted to make sure everyone got that out there. And then everyone, guys, not just us here in Atlanta or throughout Georgia, everyone is talking about Magic City Monday. Mm. Stephen A. Smith giving props to the Wings. All the national outlets had it as a headline.
Oh, so he's been in there, huh?
He said the Wings.
For the Wings.
Yeah, of course.
He said for the
That's
Wings.
That's what everybody says. Look. I don't know if there is a more famous strip club in America than Magic City.
Yeah.
partly due to the culture here in our city and the musical artists that have paid tribute to it and how many things it's been a part of, right? You're going back now 25, almost 30 years of it being a part of the culture. I'm not even talking about Freaknik.
Right.
Right? I'm not even going back that far. So all of a sudden now, I think it's in our social consciousness. T.I., Young Dro, and Jermaine Dupri came by the studio about three months ago, and we sit and chopped it up on this show about this documentary that they did about Magic City.
Right.
My point is, this shouldn't surprise anybody. If you're surprised, you just not have been paying attention. The prices of the tickets have gone up for that night almost 300%, according to reports right now. After this social media announcement, ticket prices rose 300% for Magic City night. So the average ticket price now is about $278. $278. My point is that because people are like, yo, I got to be there.
Yeah.
I got to be there. That's going to be fun. I got to be there. It's brilliant by the Hawks. We got the Hawks CEO coming on, Steve Koonin, brilliant marketing guy. And shout out to the Hawks for coming up with this idea or whoever did. But that just speaks to, I think, how big this is and you know, in the big scheme of our social consciousness, right, especially not just here in Atlanta, but around the country. And by the way, all these NBA dudes know it.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them.
We want them to.
They know it. Hey, but it's gonna be an epic night.
Yeah, it's interesting. I grew up here, so it's been in the zeitgeist here for anyone who's from Atlanta, obviously. But, like, I can't imagine calling up a buddy from a different state and asking him about their version. Like, that would never happen. Like, I wouldn't be like, yo, man, how's it going in San Diego? Hey, man, when's the last time you went to
spot?
Because it's like four
it only happens
NBA,
about
though.
One of those, right, and it happens to be here in Atlanta.
It's like
that's
four
crazy
cities, though, that you could do that to. You could do it in Atlanta. You could do it in Houston. You could do it in Miami. Maybe one of the place in the country. Maybe
Miami
LA,
probably.
Maybe
yeah, and I'd say Miami's probably the only other place. Yeah. What is it?
The big one down there.
KOD.
Yep. Yeah. King of Diamonds, yep.
Yeah, KOD. So, but yeah, now I'm interested to see how some of these dads are going to handle, or even some of these moms going to handle when they go in there to purchase the hoodies and then their kid is like, how come I can't get a hoodie?
But you know what? The hoodie's clean, man.
It is.
It's clean.
Look, I'm going to have to take one for the team. My wife is not necessarily the biggest fan, in a bad way, but I'm taking one for the team. I'm just going to have that hoodie. Even if I don't wear it.
No, I'm have to ask if we can get free ones. Use the
I put that
the
on the rundown
plug,
for Carl to ask for him, and Mike can get theirs.
We'll ask. We'll definitely ask because the Hawks have been very generous. But, yeah, the hoodie's clean. I'm excited about it. And, you know, the bottom line is, look, this is another way to attract people who may be either reluctant or not paying as much attention to the Hawks. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, if we start to surge, Abe was talking about it, this is also a part of that, right? Yep. I think the date, guys, by the way, is
March
16th.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. All right, guys, that's what's on my mind for Friday.
Great stuff, Dede. All right, coming up, we will tell you who got a raise because they're handing out big raises at Georgia. Also, college football front and center at the White House. We'll tell you about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Emma Grade, host of Aspire with Emma Grade, a podcast where I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From culture-shaping voices like Mel Robbins to leaders redefining success like Tracy Ellis Ross to game-changing entrepreneurs like Mark Cuban, Aspire is about mindset, ambition, and doing the work that actually moves the needle. If you're ready to raise your standards and take charge about the life and career you're building, Aspire is where you start. Follow and listen to Aspire with me, Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast available wherever you get your podcasts.